All right, we're beginning here at the top of Yud Chet Amud Aleph, 12 lines down. Before we start, we just have to remind ourselves of the psukim that are associated with a Nazir Tameh, because today we're going to see numerous drashot on that parshia that deals with the Nazir Tameh. It says, V'chi yamut meit alav v'peto pitom. Something happens where he becomes Tameh meit. V'timei rosh nizro. That we already saw at the end of yesterday's daf. That somehow makes Tamei the crown of his head. And that's how the Gemara knew that this parshia only has application to someone who was once Tahor and then became Tamei, not someone who is Tamei Miikara. It's Timei Rosh Nizno. Vigilach Rosho Biyom Taharato Biyom Ashvi Yigalchenu. On the seventh day of his Tahara, he will shave his head. Tahara exists outside of this parsha, that is Parah Duma. An individual has to have azat shlishi vishvi'i, he has to sprinkle on himself the ashes of the parah aduma on the third and the seventh day. On the seventh day, he goes to the mikveh, and then when the sun sets, he's tahor. On that seventh day, for Nazir Tamei, not only does he have to do that regular process of parah aduma, he must also shave his head on the seventh day. Ubayom ashmini, yavi. So on the eighth day, this is like a classic mechusar kapara, where they take care of everything in the first 7 days. And then on the eighth day, you bring your korbanot. So here, Yavish, Shtei Torim, O Shnei Bnei Yonai, L'Kohen El Petach Omeid. Asa Kohen Echad L'Chatat, V'Echad Le'Ola. So you have one Chatat, one Ola from the two birds. V'Chiper Alav, Me'asher Chatal HaNafesh. And then he will get Kapara for the Chet. Over here, the Gemara, we'll see it in tomorrow's daf as well. Chatal HaNafesh, the Pashtu, the Pasuk is the Chet of coming into contact with the Tumah. We also had the Drusher early in the Masechta, the Nedarim. We'll see it again tomorrow. Chatal Zenefesh, here the Gemara calls him a Choteh, that he was Choteh because he took a Neder Nezirut. V'kidash et Rosho Bayom Hahu. Then his head will be sanctified, meaning his hair will be sanctified on that day. V'zir L'Hashem et Yinmei Nizro. And then he will complete his Nezirut to Hashem. And he brings his Asham, which is otherwise known as the Asham Nazir. And that which he canted beforehand are lost because of the Tuma in the middle. So the problem already in the Psukim, and most of what today's daf is going to deal with, is that you have the seventh day where he cuts his hair, the eighth day where he brings the Korbanot. In the bringing of the Korbanot, it says here that he is kidash et rosho, that he starts again to be mikadesh his head. The question is, bayomahu, on that day. The pashtut of psukim bayomahu means on the eighth day, because that's where he is, talking about the eighth day when he's bringing his korbanot. Bayomahu is the eighth day. Problem on the eighth day itself is that, it says kidash rosho bayomahu, the chatat and the ola are before that, and the asham is written after that. So does it come before the korbanot, after the korbanot, before which korbanot, after which korbanot? That'll be discussion at the latter half of today. The Asham is mentioned in the psukim after he's kidash et rosho. The chatat and the ola are mentioned prior to that. So now we have the Gemara say, Mantanaha de Tanron Banan. Who is the author of this braita, Tosefta, we saw already? Ein ben tamei shenazar. There's no difference between a Tamei who takes a Neder Nizirut, like we've been discussing until now, he does it in the Beit HaKvarot, the Nazir Tahor Shenitma, versus a Nazir Tahor that became Tamei, Ella, She Tamei Shenazar Shvi Shelo Olo Min HaMinyan. Person who started out his Nizirut B'Tum'ah was never Tahor, therefore he's not Chayav in the Korbanot Tum'ah, and that means that he begins his count on the seventh day, Mitzat Hayom Kekulo, the latter half of the seventh day, he already begins his Nizirut Tahara. Again, we've discussed this numerous times over the last two daf. There are more differences as well, and the Gemara already answered in yesterday's daf that those differences are subsumed in what we're discussing here. The siman that you can start your Nizirut on the seventh day is indicative of the fact that you do not bring Korbanot, that you do not need Giluach. All of these items are subsumed in this difference. Whereas Nazir Tahor Shnitma, whereas in regards to a Nazir Tahor, who then became Tamei, his Nizirut doesn't start again until the eighth day, because he has to bring the korbanot on the 8th day. If he shaves his head on the 7th, brings the korbanot on the 8th day, his mikzvah tayum kukulo only begins on the 8th day. So again, this is a right that we're seeing for the 3rd time already, a 4th time. This is the difference between these two individuals. Gemara wants to know, who is the author of this braita? Amar Rav Chista, Rabbi hi. The author of this braita must be Rabbi. Amar Rabbi, ein nizirut tara chala, ela ad shmini. Rabbi says exactly what seems to be indicated in this braita, that a nazir tamei that wants to restart his count only starts on the 8th day. And that's what our braita says. Ditema Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, because if he tells it's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Amar, Zirut de Tara Mishviyuhu de Chayla. He believes you start your count already on the 7th day. So, my Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, the Gemara is mentioning Tanaim here without any context. So here's the Braita in which they argue. Ditanya, Vikidesh et Rosho Bayomahu. This is what we discussed in the Psukim. It says that he will begin his count Bayomahu. On that day, Bayom Havat Korbanotav Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi learns the pasuk in Pshuto, which is that it's found after the Torah. He says Uveyom Hashmini. He brings his korbanot, and then it says within that context, V'chiper Allah Meshechat Al Nafesh V'kidashet Rosho Bayom Ahu. So over there, the Pshuto pasuk is Bayom Ahu is on that 8th day, and that's what Rabbi says. It begins on the 8th day. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beyom Tiglachto. It's on the day that he cut his hair. Yom HaShvi'i. Now that's a much harder position because the Torah already said we're talking about Yom HaShmini and that's where it's mentioned. The Gemara will explain the drasha or what compelled Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda to have their positions. Vatnan. Nazir Shinitma Tum'ot Harbei, Eno Bevi Elo Kurban Echad. Nazir that became Tamei numerous times, he only brings one Korban and all of these tumult. Mantano, who's the author of this Mishnah? Am Rav Chista, Rabbi Yossi, bi Rabbi Yehuda. It has to be Rabbi Yossi, bi Rabbi Yehuda. So if Rav Chista telling us that the Braita is authored by Rabbi, the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yossi, bi Rabbi Yehuda. Damar, Nizirut, Tara, Mishvi, Chayla. That the Nizirut Tara already begins on the 7th day. Umishkachala, what's the situation in which we find this case? Kagon, Shinitma Bishvi, Bechazar, Venitma Bishvi'i. Became Tamei on the 7th day, and he became Tamei again on the 7th day. Kevan delo yatsa sha'aru uyala vi kurban, since he never reached a point where he could bring the korbanot, enu chayav elo kurban echad. Therefore, he's only chayav one korban. Ditema rabihi, because if you suggest it's rabbi, either nitma bishvi, bechazar benitma bishvi, if he became tamei on the 7th day, and then again on the 7th day, kulu tuma arichtahi. That's just one long tuma. You never got to the point where you could reach your next nizirut. That means that you're still a nazir tamei, and all you're doing is extending the period that you are a nazir tamei. That's not multiple tumult. That's just one long tuma because you never exited the tuma. You never reached the point where you could leave that situation. V'id nitma b'shvi'i, shmini. If he already became tamei on the 8th day, v'chazar v'nitma b'shmini, so he became tamei again and again on the 8th day, hare yatzta sha'a shiruya la'avi korban. He already reached the point where he would be chayav to bring a korban. And that means once you're chayav to bring a korban, you can't use one korban to discharge both obligations because you're already obligated to bring the korban. Right now, the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning behind Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's position. But let's just take a step back and understand what's transpiring over here. In order for your nizirut tamei to be over, it's only over when you can start counting your nizirut bitahara. So you have to reach a point in time where you can start your nizirut bitahara. Otherwise, you're still a Nazir Tameh. You've never left being a Nazir Tameh. Or, in essence, like we had problem that we have today, that if you're Tameh Mate, there is no Parad Dumah, so we're never Mitair ourselves. So if you become Tameh Mate again, that's not a new Tumah, just an extension of the Tumah that you had. And even in a time where you had the ability to become Tohor, if you counted 3 days of Tara, 4 days of Tara, and then you came into contact with the Mate, That's not a new Tumah. It's just that you never exited the previous Tumah because you never got the 7 days of Tara that you needed. So that the Gemara's assumption here is that when the Mishnah says that he can become Tameh multiple times, that means we're talking about discrete events of Tumah that are separate. If, like we're describing here, it happens within a period where you've never exited the period of Tumah, then that's not a discrete event. It's just a continuous event of Tumah. The same Tumah that you had all along. So therefore, we have to be in a position where you've already exited the previous Tumah. For Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, you exit the previous Tumah on the seventh day. In the latter half of the seventh day, after you've gone to the mikveh and you're waiting for the sun to set, at that point your Nizirut b'Tara kicks in. So he did his Tiglachat Shvi'i, he did his Hazah on the Shvi'i, he went to the mikveh, all he's waiting for now is the sun to set, and he still has to bring his Korbanot on the eighth day. Yet, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda believes that begins already, he starts his count right then for his Nizirut b'Tara. So now you've already entered a new Nizirut B'Tara. If you become Tameh at that point, that's a new discrete event. You've left your Nizirut B'Tumah, reached a Nizirut B'Tara, and now if you become Tameh, that's a new event. But since you never reached the point where you are Chayav in a Korban, you're only Chayav in your Korbanot on the eighth day. So what could happen here is that you could have multiple discrete events of Tumah. Become Tahor, Tameh, Tamor, Tameh, and you will be covered by a single korban. Since you never became chayav in the korban, when you become tamei again, that postpones your need to bring the korban, because you're never chayav until you reach the eighth day. And basically, over and over again, it postpones. And then finally, when you reach an eighth day, that korban that you bring on that eighth day will cover all the tumult, all those discrete events that you had all along. For Rabbi, since you can only begin your nezirut b'tara on the eighth day, which means that after... Let's say now, after you brought your korbanot on the eighth day, that's not true according to Rabbi, but let's state it that way. After you bring your korbanot on the eighth day, you're now finished with your nezirut b'tumah, and now you begin your nezirut b'tahara. So now, if you became tameh at that point, you can't have the korbanot cover you for the next tumah. It's a new event, it's a new chiyuv. What we're going to see in a second is Rabbi believes that even if you do not bring the korbanot, and you become Tameh on that day, that's an extension of the Tumah, or a discrete event of Tumah, but it cannot be covered by the Korbanot. Why can't it be covered by the Korbanot? Because you're already Chayav to bring the Korbanot. Once you become obligated to bring the Korbanot on the eighth day, you can't say the postponement of that Chiyuv will then allow you to cover multiple events or other events afterwards. That's not the case. Once you're Chayav today for those Korbanot, you can't bring them because you became Tameh. So there is a technical problem in your ability to bring the korbanot, but you're still chayav. And now if you have a new discrete event of Tumah, then you have to bring korbanot for that event, independent of your obligation to bring them today. Therefore, Rav Chisda says, the author of that Mishnah must be Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi. Because Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda is the only one who can create discrete events of Tumah, and still have you only be obligated one korban. Now the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reasoning behind Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda's position? Again, Rabbi's position is the Pashtut HaPasuk, which is that on Yom HaShmini, that's the context of the Psukim, and it says, V'kidash HaTorsho b'Yom HaO, that's the Pashtut. So the obligation or burden of proof is really on Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda as to why you could start on the seventh day. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Amar Kra, V'chiper Alav, Mashir Chata'al HaNafesh, Badar, and then it says right afterwards, V'kidash et Rosho. So after you attain your kapara, then kidash et rosho, then you become a nazir. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imkein leimakra v'kidash et rosho. All the pasuk had to say was v'kidash et rosho. Bayom aho lamali. Bayom aho is completely extraneous. Bayom aho, of course it's on that day, because the Torah already told us u'bayom hashmini. It's the eighth day. Why would you think it's not the eighth day? Bayom aho, he says, is extraneous. Whether you say it as extraneous in the language is not needed, or if you already say now, maybe it's a miut, hahu. Bayom aho is a miut, but either way, what you have here is extraneous language or a problem. Imeinu inyan l'shmini, you don't need it to tell me the eighth day. Tzneu inyan l'shvi'i. Then that becomes the day of, let's look at it as the seventh day, or that it's coming to include the seventh day over here. So what you see from here is that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's position is because of the word Bayomahu. But otherwise, the Pashtura Pasuk Bayomahu means Yom HaShmini, but he says it's completely unnecessary. Since it's unnecessary, it must teach you something. What is it teaching you? Move it up a day. Not on Yom HaShmini, but rather on Yom HaShvi'i, you begin your Nizirut B'Tahara. And that is the reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. But now that poses a problem for Rabbi. Because at this point, then, Rabbi still has to address the Bayomahu. Rabbi, Nami Aktiv Bayomahu. What does Rabbi do with that extraneous Bayomahu? Amr l'cha Rabbi, ha'ulu ha'chi u'da'ato. That's when I need l'omarcha. Afal pi, sholevi korbanotav. So I explained to you before, that even though from, in the context of the Pesukim, it sounds like you bring your Chatat Yola, and then you start your Nizirut, Rabbi says the Yomahu, that extra language, bumps it up, that even if you have not brought your Korbanot yet, your Nizirut B'Tahara kicks in or starts already. Meaning that that's already the transition point is then and not by the Korbanot. Rav Chista, my duchakei, l'ukmeik Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda. So what forced Rav Chista to set up the Mishnah like Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda and not like Rabbi? So that seems obvious, because Rabbi can't create a scenario in which the individual will not be already culpable for a korban, and then becomes tamei to make it into a discrete event. But the Gemara says that we left out an interim period. We talked about Yom HaShvi'i, the seventh day. We talked about Yom HaShmini, the eighth day. What we did not talk about or speak about is the night in between. That maybe we could create a scenario for Rabbi and the night in between where you're yet to be chayav for the korbanot, but you already might be able to start your nizirut b'tahara. If that's the case, then Rabbi could also be the author of the Mishnah if the tumah happened on the night between the seventh and eighth day, meaning the night preceding the eighth day. So that's what the Gemara says over here. So my duchakei lukmak Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda lukmak agon denitma. The Chazia Belel Shmini, for Rabbi Hi. Let us say he became Tamei on the eighth night, and it is Rabbi's position, like I just explained. Korbanot can only be brought during the day. So on the eighth night, you're not ra'oi to bring a Korban yet. On the other hand, it's already Yom HaShmini. Now remember, whenever the Torah uses the word Yom, it can have possibly two definitions. Yom can mean daytime. Yom can mean the day of, including the night and the day. So Yom HaShmini, if you interpret that to mean on the eighth day in its broadest sense, meaning both the night and the day, then it's possible he could start his Nizirut at night, but he would only be Chayev in the Korban in the morning. That means now he's creating a new discrete event of Tumah, but he's not Chayev yet in a Korban. That means that he could then put all those discrete Tumot together and bring one Korban to cover them all. And Rabbi could be the author of that Mishnah. That's the Gemara's question. Why didn't Rav Chista suggest such a thing? Now, in terms of the language over here, it says, Go nitma de chazia. The word chazia does not belong here, and it's not meaningful in our context. Therefore, the Balei HaTosafot, the Rosh, take it out of the Girsa, and say that it should not belong here. Below Garcina de chazia. Chazia is talking about the individual, that he's ra'ui. Now, in the Gemara and Kretot, when it discusses about a Zav or a Zava, over there they use the word chazia, because then the individual is only re'uya to become or to move into a position of tara once they brought their korbanot, because they are mechusarei kapara. So there, when they talk about chazio, is when they've reached a point where they are re'uyim. So what the mifaresh suggests over here, da'adamar chazio lav dafko, it's not meaningful in our context. Ha'cha ela aydi dinoki la mesekit kretot naktel ha'cha. They lifted the language out of Kretot, which has a similar way of discussing things. And since over there it's meaningful, they just lifted the language out and put it over here. So even though it's not meaningful over here, you don't need a nazir de chazio, that's not a relevant term. Nevertheless, the Gemara used the term because that's the way that it's phrased in Kretot. Again, the other Rishonim, the Tosafot, the Rosh take it out of the Girsa because it's not meaningful to us. Then, Gemara says, Umudalo mokim lakarabi. The fact that Rav Chista did not take up this opportunity to explain it, even according to Rabbi, Lema Kasavar Lelia Lav Mechusar Zmanhu. He must believe that nighttime is not lacking in your ability to bring a Korban. This is an argument for any case where a person is obligated to bring a korban on their eighth day, for a woman who gives birth, she has to bring it on the 41st day, on the 81st day. Anytime you have to bring a korban on the subsequent day, the process of tahara is completed on the day before. Whether it's the 7th day, again, the 40th day, the 80th day, that process ends on that day, going to the mikveh or whatever else you have to do, and it's done. The mechusei kapara, bringing the korbanot, is an extension on the next day, that you can't eat kodashim, you can't enter the mikdash till you've done it, but that's on the subsequent day. At what point does that happen? When is that transition? Is it the nighttime, or is it only in the morning? The reason to believe it's only in the morning is because korbanot can only be brought during the day, and therefore that transition into the point where you're chayav to bring those korbanot are in the morning. There is a shita, and this is what the Gemara is discussing over here, that laila lav mechuser zmanhu. You're already chayav in the korbanot at nighttime. There's a technical delay, which is that you can't bring korbanot at night. But ein ochanami, you already reached the point where you're chayav in the korbanot. It's just that you have a technical problem that the lights are out. I mean, it's nighttime. As soon as the sun rises, you can deal with it. But you're still chayav. Or, do we say that until you can bring the korban, you're not chayav in the korban? So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, from Rav Chista's not setting up the Mishnah like Rabbi, that shows you that Rabbi must believe that you're already chayav in the korbanot at nighttime. That's why Rabbi cannot be the author of that Mishnah. Again, we describe the possibility of Rabbi being that author because he starts his Nizirut B'Tara at night, because now he's already into the eighth day, but his korbanot don't happen until the morning. So the separation of those two allows possibly Rabbi to be the author of the Mishnah by saying he became Tamei at the night. So he never reached the point of Chiyuva Korban, but he's already started his Nizirut B'Tara. The fact that Rav Chista did not make that suggestion shows you that he believes that for Rabbi, both things start at nighttime. Both your Nizirut B'Tara would start at nighttime, as well as your Chiyuv in the Korban starts at nighttime. Therefore, if you became Tamei at night, you've already become obligated in the Korban. And yes, it's a discrete event, but it's a discrete event with its own Korban now, because the first Korban is already, you become obligated in it. So that's what the Gemara wants to prove from the fact that Rav Chista did not set up Rabbi as the author of the Mishnah, that it must be that Rav Chista thinks Rabbi believes, or that Rav Chista himself believes that Laila lav mechuser zmanu. That nighttime you are chayav in the korbanot. You can't bring them, but you're chayav already. And that means that if something happens at that point, you're ready into a new, you'd have to bring another korban. So Amarava Adarava, ha, baha talio. You made a mistake here. Your mistake is in assuming that you could segregate the issues. We suggest that the way that you could answer, or the way that you could set up the Mishnah like Rabbi, is to say that your Nizirut B'Tara starts at night, your obligation to bring the Korbanot only starts in the morning, and therefore you have a spread in time that allows you to become Tamei before you're Chayav in the Korbanot. What Rav Adar Bava says is, the two are connected. You can't separate the issues. The reason that you become, allowed to begin your Nizirut B'Tara is because you've reached the point where you're chayav in the korbanot. Because Rabbi Shita is Bayom Ahu. I mean, Bayom Ahu is on the day that you would bring the korbanot. Therefore, if you can start your Nizirut B'Tara, you can also bring the korbanot. If you can't start your Nizirut B'Tara to the next day, you also can't bring your korbanot to the next day. The two are correlated, integrally connected, and therefore you can't create a scenario in which Rabbi believes that the Nizirut B'Tara starts at night, and the korbanot, you're only chayav in the morning. Because Rabbi ties your ability to start the Nizirut B'Tara to your ability to bring the korbanot. So if you can't bring korbanot, you can't start your Nizirut. Or if you can start your Nizirut, then you can bring the korbanot. And that's how he answers here. If you say that nighttime is lacking in time, meaning that you cannot bring korbanot at night, and you're not chayav at all, emad michzei the korban. When are you ra'oi to bring a korban? Litzafra, in the morning. Therefore, nizirut, namichlo chayla at safra. Therefore, the nizirut only also takes effect in the morning, because Rabbi says it has to be at a time when you're chayav in the korbanot, that's when you can start nizirut. V'yamart, leulia, ina mechuser zman. If you say that nighttime is not lacking in zman, I mean that you're already chayav in the korbanot at nighttime, nizirut tarach, chayla me'orta. Then sure enough, right, nizirut can start at nighttime, but the two are so correlated and integrally connected that you can't separate them. If you can't separate them, then you can't come up with a point where you would have a discrete tumah event for Nizirot, but you would not be Chayav in the Korban. Since the two happen simultaneously, by definition, if it's a new event of Tumah, it's also a new event for Korban. Because as soon as it's a new event for Nizirut Tara of Tumah, then you're also already Chayav in your Korbanot. And that means that the new event would require a separate set of Korbanot. And that's why Rav Chista never set up Rabbi as the author of the Mishnah, but it doesn't prove anything about Rabbi's view about when you become Chayav in Korbanot. Whether it's nighttime or whether it's the day, then Zero Tara is connected to that. And therefore you can't prove anything about Rabbi's Shita as to when that is. All you can say is that Rabbi has no separation between these two issues. And now the Gemara moves on and says Gufa. Gufa here presents a difficult dilemma. And that is because the word Gufa, traditionally in the Gemara, everywhere else in Shas, the word Gufa is if we, in a discussion beforehand, brought either a machloket amoraim, member of an amoraim, a braita, as part of the discussion, it was an aside. We didn't delve into the braita, but it proved something for us, or it showed something for us. We brought the braita down in the previous discussion. The Gemara now wants to go back and discuss that braita, that member of amoraim, that machloket amoraim, in more detail. What the Gemara there then says is, Gufa, we want to go back to that braita, or that statement, and then it quotes the statement, and says, Gufa, let us investigate it further. The problem here is, the Gemara quotes Gufa, and then it quotes something that we never quoted before. It's not a braita that we mentioned before. It happens to be a braita. But the way the Gemara mentioned this prior, was that it presented a case with these conditions, but it didn't quote a braita that dealt with these conditions. It said, based on a case like this, what would be the scenario? So the use of the word gufa here is very strange. Therefore, Mefaresh says, take it out of the girsa. Shibushahu. It's wrong. It should say Tanu Rabbanan here, not gufa. Tanu Rabbanan means we're about to quote a Tanaic work and discuss a Tanaic work. That's fine. But gufa is the wrong word. Balei HaTosafot say, Velo Garsinan. Don't put the word gufa in here. It's incorrect because it's not used in the traditional way that it's used in Shas. The Rosh says that this gufa is not like any other gufa in Shas, but you can still leave it in there because Lashon Nizirut Mishuna, that the Lashon or the way that words are used in Masechet Nazir are very different than the way they're used in other places in Shas. And in Ochanami, he agrees with what the Tosafot says and the Mifaresh says, that this is an incorrect usage of the word. But that doesn't stop him from leaving in the word gufa because he says, can't make any assumptions about how words are used. We find all the time here that the Lashon of the Gemara is not dissimilar to the way it is in Shas, and therefore he leaves the word gufa in. You could argue that the word gufa here is used more loosely, which is that normally gufa is a quote of a bright or a amoraim or a machloket amoraim that we quoted before, and now we're reviewing it again. What you could argue here is that topically we dealt with this issue, even though we didn't quote the exact braita. And so the Gemara says, I want to go back to discuss this topic, and here's the braita that really was the reason or conditions that we mentioned before are really encapsulated or captured by a braita. Now we want to discuss that more in detail. So if you look at a more expansive view of the word gufa, you could possibly explain the word gufa in that way over here. And that might be what the Rosh is saying when he says, Lashon Nazir Mishune, is that this is used in a more expansive form than it normally is used. So either Gufa or Tanu Rabbanan, Nitma B'Shvi'i, V'Chazar V'Nitma B'Shvi'i, Eino Mevi Elo Korban Echad. He became Tamei on the seventh day. And again, became Tamei on the seventh day. He only brings one Korban. Nitma B'Shmini, if he became Tamei on the eighth day, V'Chazar V'Nitma B'Shmini, then became Tamei again on the eighth day. Mevi korban al kol echad ve'echad. Then you have to bring a separate korban on each one. Matchil umne miyad. You begin to count immediately. Divrei. Over here, there's some question about the girsa and has huge nafkaminot. But we have an argument is Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That is the position of Rabbi Eliezer. That will present two issues. One of which I will discuss now. One of which we'll discuss when we get there. The problem with this being Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is Matchil Umune Miyad means that he starts to count immediately. That means on the eighth day, when he brings his korbanot, it begins to count as Nezirut B'Tahara. Now, the problem for that is that we already saw Rabbi Eliezer's opinion in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah believes, V'yamim arishonim yiplu. In order for a Nazir Tor to become a Nazir Tamei, you will need a minimum of 2 days. Since you need a minimum of 2 days, then how could this be authored by Rabbi Eliezer, who says, Matchilu Munemiyad? And then it says that, Bishmini, that if you become Tamei on the 8th day, and then the 8th day again, then you become Tamei. For him, that cannot be the case. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you need at least 2 days of Tahara to become a Nazir Tamei. That means that you need the 8th day, plus into the 9th day, let's say according to Tosafot, who says you just need to get into the 9th day, in order to become a Nazir Tamei. And therefore, this Braita makes no sense, that Rabbi Eliezer is the author of this Braita. One answer could be, which is unlike the Balei HaTosafot, and the way that the Rambam explained it, is to assume that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion about Nazir Tamei is only in a case where he takes that deferred Nizirut. That only when you took your Nizirut when you were in the Beit HaKvarot, and then you start your Nizirut, you need 2 days before you can come Tamei again to be called a Nazir Tamei. But from the beginning of a Nizirut, if you took a Nizirut B'Tahara, he might agree that on day one, you can become a Nazir Tamei. That would be the simplest way to solve the problem, and then this is not an issue at all. But the Balei HaTosafot, the Rambam, and the Perush Mishnayot both said that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion equally applies to a case where he's starting out as a Nazir B'Tahara. Therefore, if you look in the Tosfot over here, it says, L'chor av ha-mashma, the matchil mina nizirut tara shelo b'shmini. He starts on the 8th day. Ela e efshar lo markein. You can't say that. Dilo chayla nizirut tara shelo elo b'shmini. Imkein k'nitma b'shmini. Becomes to man that day. Lo sulter lo yom echad. Only knocks out 1 day. V'lo avi mitchayiv kurban tuma. But then he wouldn't be chayiv in a kurban tuma. The Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer believes you have to have 2 days. So what does he say? Ella, matchilu manem yad bishvi'i. Tosfot reinterprets what seemingly is the meaning of the Braita, which is that when he says matchilu manem yad, means immediately on the 8th day you begin counting your Nizirut B'Tahara. Tosfot says that's not right. Matchilu manem yad means on the 7th day you begin to count your Nizirut B'Tahara. Therefore on the 8th day it's already the 2nd day. You're into your 8th day, that's your 2nd day of Tahara, therefore if you become Tamei on that day, then you have to bring new korbanot and start the Nizirut B'Tahara. So even though you start on the 7th day, when you become Tamei on the 8th day, you're already chayav in your korbanot, you became Tamei for Rabbi Eliezer, that's already the 2nd day. And so Matchel Menei Miyad, Tosfot reinterprets to mean 7th day instead of the 8th day. That's when you start your count. In order to avoid this problem of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Again, we gave one answer, which is, you don't have to hold like Tosfot, you can hold that. Rabbi Eliezer, if you start out in Nizirut B'Tahara, does not have this requirement of a Yamim HaRishonim Yiplu. The other possible answer is a change in the Girsa. You can see there's a little Aleph there by Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The Gro says that the correct Girsa over here is Divrei Rabbi. And that would work well, again, number one, because we just saw Rabbi's opinion when he argued on Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi believes that you start counting the Nizirut B'Tahara on the 8th day. And this would be exactly like Rabbi's position over there. So it would make a lot of sense that Rabbi is the author of this position. In a second, we will also see why there's another benefit to having Rabbi be the author of this position rather than Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim omrim, kurban echad ala kol, ad shevi chatato. You have one kurban on all of them, and that is until he brings his chatat. Hevi chatato, if he brings his chatat, vin nitma, and then became tamei, Kurban al kol echad ve'echad. You have to bring a kurban on each one of them. So what the chachamim say is, you cannot start your Nizirut B'Tahara until you brought your chatat. The chatat is me'akev, your ability to start your Nizirut B'Tahara. But that also means that once you brought your chatat and start your Nizirut B'Tahara, if you came to me again, you're going to be chayav another set of korbanot because you've already done some of your korbanot. You've discharged, you've already obligated your korbanot. According to them, you can't have a case where you have multiple Nizirut and not have to bring a Kurban in each one of them. Because since you'd only start your Nizirut B'Tahara after you brought your Chatat, there's no way that you could have a scenario in which you have multiple Nizirut without each one coming to Kurban, similar to Rabbi's position that we said before about starting on the 8th day. Hevi Chatato velo hevi Ashamo Moneh. If you don't bring the Asham, but you do bring the Chatat, you can begin your count, and in 1 second I'll show you why that is, and that why that makes sense in the Psukim. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Brok Omer, Kashem shechatato ikavto, kein ashamo me'akvo. Just like the chatat is me'akev, his ability to start his Naziru betara, so too, the ashamo is me'akev, his ability to start his Naziru betara. According to Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi, just being on the eighth day is sufficient grounds to start your Nizirut Bitara. And therefore, if something happens on that day, you would have to still be Chayav in a second set of Korbanot. According to the Chachamim, only after you brought your Chatat can you begin your Nizirut Bitara. If you became Tamei before that point in time, that would be an extension of the existing Nizirut Bituma, and it just postpones your ability to bring the Korbanot. We're not obligate you in a new set of Korbanot, because you haven't started your Nizirut Bitara. On the other hand, if you already brought your chatat, but not your asham, not your olah, then if you came to me then, you're already into a new nizirut betara. If you come to me then, you'd have to bring another set of korbanot for this new tuma by the nizirut. According to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, until you brought your chatat and your asham, you're not a new nazir betara. You become to me before that, it's just an extension of the existing tuma. If you brought your chatat and not your asham and you became to me, also an extension of the existing Nizirut, because you didn't start a new Nizirut Betara. After you brought your Chatat and Hashem, then you're a new Nazir Tor, become Tamei then, that generates a discrete event, which will be Mechayev you in a new set of Korbanot. Now, the Gemara says, Bishlama le Rabbi Eliezer. Again over here, this is the Girsa of the Bali HaTosvot Rabbi Eliezer. You can see a little better again, where the Groa says that the Girsa should be Bishlama le Rabbi. That the Girsa here should be Rabbi. Amarkra, the pasuk says, "V'kidashet rosho b'yom ahu." B'yom ahu means "af al pi shelo hevi korbanotav." Even if he did not bring his korbanot. Now, this is exactly the drosha that Rabbi had before. Rabbi says that "afilu lo hevi korbanotav," you start your new nizirut betara on the day that you become obligated in your korbanot, even though you haven't brought them yet. So here would be "V'kidashet rosho b'yom ahu." It's exactly what Rabbi's drosha was before, and then it would make sense to be Divrei Rabbi. On the other hand, if you say this is Rabbi Eliezer and not Rabbi, then what is his drosha from Bayom Ahu? So what you see here is, that's what explains, Miutar Bayom Ahu. That Bayom Ahu is extraneous, like we explained above. They are both Bayom HaShvi. Dimishvi Chaylalei Nizru Tara, can you appreciate the elder Rabbi Eliezer? That Rabbi Lezer, according to the Tosafot, has to start his count from the seventh day. So then, what does Bayom Ahu mean? Afal pish lo ivi korbanotav. It's not only that he didn't bring his korbanot, but not even the day that he brings his korbanot. He's basically darshaning the pasuk like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. The Bayom Ahu means you bring it on the seventh, that on the seventh day you begin your nizirut betara, even though you're not chayav to bring your korbanot yet. That means now that that same drosha from Bayom Ahu, afal pish lo ivi korbanotav, that phrase, means something different when Rabbi said it versus something different when Rabbi Eliezer said it. That means the Gemara used the exact same terminology and it means two different things. By Rabbi, when it means Afal Pi Shelo Hevi Korbanotav, means on the eighth day, before he brings his Korbanot, you start your Nizirut Betara. For Rabbi Eliezer, it's going to mean Afal Pi Shelo Hevi Korbanotav. Even though you didn't reach the eighth day, you're on the seventh day, you can begin your Nizirut Betara. It means the same phrase is being interpreted differently. That's another difficulty with saying that this is Rabbi Eliezer, is the author of this position. The Groa's solution to say Divrei Rabbi makes it all work perfectly now. According to Rabbi, it means the eighth day before you bring your korbanot, and the drosha is the same drosha. Afal pi shelo hevi korbanotav. Therefore, the Girsa of the Groa makes it much simpler to read this Gemara as Rabbi being the author of this position. Tosafot, who thinks Rabbi Eliezer is the author of this position, is running into difficulty over and over again. Because for Rabbi Eliezer, it needs to start on the seventh day. So again, when he says, Moneh Miyad in the Braita, he has to say that means the seventh day. And over here, he has to say when it means Afal Pi Shelo Hevi Korbanotav, it means seventh day, not the eighth day. He explains why Rabbi did not interpret it that way, because Rabbi never thought you had to bring any of the Korbanot. Therefore, mean Afal Pi Shelo Hevi Korbanotav means before you bring your Korbanot on the eighth day. On the other hand, here, where the positions in the Braita, besides Rabbi Eliezer, are people who say you have to bring a particular korban. Then when you say afal pi shelo hevi korbanotav, it means when you're totally not in the picture of korbanot. Nothing to do with korbanot. And therefore, the interpretation of the words will be different based on the context in which they were said. And as Tosafot points out, for Rabbi, since Rabbi does not mention a particular korban, but rather just a generic statement of havat korban, therefore, bayomahu would just be makbid on the day itself. The way the Rosh terms it is, v'yesh lomar, the lishna, the milta, the Rabbi, mashma lehochi, mit kamar bayom, havat korbanotah, b'stam, lo perish ha-chevi, chatatoshimo, mashma da yom goreim, afal pish lo evi klal, that it's really focused on the day, and not about the korbanot. Because Rabbi speaks again in context about all the korbanot as one generic unit, not particular korbanot, and therefore it's yom versus korbanot. Because over here, the chachamim that are mentioned in the Braita are talking about bayomahu in context of particular korbanot. And therefore when you say bayomahu, it's on that day before or after each particular korban, but not all the korbanot as a whole unit. Again, it's still very difficult, and that's why the Gros Girs of Rabbi really eases you in and makes a lot more sense in this case. We understand how Rabbi Elazar came about his position. Because Vayomahu, V'Rabbanan, how Afal Pi Shelo Hivi Ashamo. The Chiddush in the Rabbanan is that even though you didn't bring your Asham, you still become a Nazir. So the Rabbanan say you have to bring your Chatat in order to become a Nazir. You don't need your Asham. Start again, your new Nazirut Tara. Now the truth is, the Rabbanan shouldn't need any pasuk for that. Because if you look at the Tzukim, it says, "Umiyom Hashmini Yavish Tei Torim Ushnei Bnei Yonala Kohen Opetach Omeid Vasa Kohen Achad Chatat V'Charula V'Chiper Olav Masher Chatal Anofesh and then V'Kidash Et Rosho Bayomahu." Start your Nizirut. After that, V'Yizil Hashem Et Yimei Nizirut V'Yavi Keves Ben Shnatol Asham. Once you've started your new Nizirut, then you bring your Asham. So why do the Chachamim need the word Bayomahu at all? The order of the Tzukim actually are exactly what their position is. Bring your chatat, start your nizirut, and then you can bring your asham. The asham's not makev, the start of the new nizirut. So what Tosafot points out is, everywhere else in the Torah, the asham is me'akev. Anybody else who has to bring an asham, that asham is me'akev their kapara, or their ability to continue. This is an exceptional asham to say that it's not me'akev. And therefore, that's why the Rabbona need bayomahu. Because you normally would assume that the Asham is the Mechaper and the Me'akev. And though, even though it's written after the fact that it says you started your new Nizirot, you would assume that that's just not the case because an Asham is always Me'akev. So what the Chachamim are telling you is Bayomahu tells you, even though normally an Asham is Me'akev, over here it's not Me'akev, and follow the order of the Psukim. The order of the Psukim is right. And that's the way that you do it. But the problem is, Elo Rabbi Shmuel, Ha'u Lomali. Why does Rabbi Shmuel need Hahu? He says, the Chatat is Me'akev, the Asham is Me'akev. What's left to exclude here to say Bayomahu? What does that extraneous term Bayomahu teach you? The Ola. Even though that's the only Korban left, is the Ola. So now, Rabbanan, Ola Loi Bayim Miyuta. You don't have to exclude the Ola. Doron Ba'almahu. And Ola is just a gift. In general, Ola is not coming to be Mechaper. An Ola, or the general genre of Ola as a Korban, is a gift to Hashem. It's something that's being dedicated to Hashem. And therefore, what the Chachamim view the Ola over here as basically being a cherry on top. It's not anything to do with the Kapara. It's just a nice gesture towards Hashem to bring the Ola as part of the process. I mean, obviously you're obligated to do it, but it's not a part of the formal Kapara for the Nazir. And therefore, you wouldn't need the word Bayomahu to exclude it. Rabbi Ishmael is suggesting that that's not the case. The Ola is seemingly part of the process here, especially since it's mentioned before the fact that he can start his new Nizirut B'Tara, and therefore I need a Pasuk to exclude it. And obviously the Psukim support Rabbi Ishmael, Benosha, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Broka, because the Ola is mentioned before the fact that Kidesh et Rosho B'Yomahu. So that would indicate that the Ola seems to be a necessity prior to that point in time. So here you have the three opinions about Bayomahu. Yeah, Bayomahu for Rabbi or Rabbi Eliezer, where the Bayomahu says that the day is Koveya, not the Korbanot. Yeah, the Chachamim saying Bayomahu teaches you, don't worry about the Asham, it's only the Chatat that matters. Then the Bayomahu, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Broka, telling you, the Ola, don't worry about, everything else you need in order to start your Nizirut B'Tara. The Gemara goes back and says, Mai Tamayu de Rabbanan. What is the reasoning behind the Rabbanan's position? Titania, we need more in-depth explanation or more of a deeper understanding of the Rabbanan's position over here. We understand by Yomahu, but you still have to explain to us why you would do this. It says, because Bezir Lashem et Yemei Nizro. That's the beginning of the pasuk that deals with the Asham. And then, subsequent to that, it says, Vevi Keves Ben Shnato Asham. So it says, first you begin your Nizirut Lashem, and then you bring your Asham. Ma Talmud Omar. Why do you need that pasuk to tell you that? You see that everywhere else in the Torah, an Asham is Ma'akev Kapara. Yachol Avze Me'akvo. You would say the same is true over here. Tamal Omar, Vehezir, Vehevi. The order of the verbs in the Psukim is Hezir, you start in Hezirut, Vehevi, and then you bring your Korban Asham. Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Broka, what's he going to do with that? Omer, Vehezir, Vehevi. So he says, you're right, it does say Zvehevir. Eimatai Hezir. When are you Hezir Lashem? Bizman, Shevi. When you bring it. Whereas the Chachamim read the Pasuk as being something that is chronological or giving you order, which says, V'kidash et roshu b'yamahu, v'zir la'ashem et yamei nizro, and then v'evi kevish ben shnoto la'ashem. It's giving you a timeline. You take care of the chatat, you are mekadesh your head, become a nazir, and then you bring your asham. That's the order of the Pasukim. It's linear. On the other hand, the way that Rabbi Shmuel, Baruch, Rabbi Yochanan, and Roka reads the Pasuk is, how will you be Hezir Lashem et Yemei Nizro? It's conditional, right? How do you begin to start your Nizirut again? You bring your Asham, and that triggers your ability to start again. So rather than reading it as a linear explanation, he reads this as a conditional explanation as to how do you start Nizirut? Bring your Asham. And just like everywhere else, in the Torah, the Asham is Me'akev, so to over here, it's going to be Me'akev. Now, supporting his position is, the last line is, V'yamim Rishonim Yiplu Kitamei Nizro. So that you have pieces of the Nizirut in each location. And that's really what's driving the Machloket over here, because you have, V'kidei Ashet Rosho B'yamahu, V'zir L'Hashem Yemei Nizro, V'vi Keves Meshato L'Hasham, V'yamim Rishonim Yiplu Kitameihu. So you're interspersing between the Korbanot explanations about the Nizirut, this previous Nizirut, the new Nizirut. Question is, which one is exact, and which one is just giving you information about it? So the Chachamim view that V'zir L'Hashem and Yemei Nizro is exact, that's where it happens, and then V'vi at Hashem. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel ben Ovid, Rabbi Yochanan ben Rokha says, no, V'zir L'Hashem doesn't happen then, it happens after the Hashem, and that's why V'yamim HaRishonim Yiplu is only mentioned afterwards, because that's really when you begin your Nizirut, when you completed all your Korbanot. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Four lines down on the top of Yutet Amud Aleph.